morning, 7:41 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves always joins us at this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, let's start with this. I was browsing my Facebooks, and I came across a post in the East Hill Neighborhood Group. It says that at Scenic Highway, there's problems. There's a lot of homeless people living on the old boardwalk. They've built a roof over the lookout tower with a propane gas range, furniture, a refrigerator, cooking food on a barbecue, garbage and trash everywhere. If they're not careful, they're going to set the woods on fire. There's defecation everywhere. There's toilet paper everywhere. The city needs to take care of this problem. You should report this to the city. What did I do? I took a screenshot and I sent it to you. And I said, hey, know anything about this? And you said...
We've already sent our police officers there yesterday afternoon and again this morning, just in case campsites were broken down and back forward. And we found, as sometimes happens when it's reported on Facebook, no evidence of any of that. Doesn't mean, you know, so maybe it's somewhere along the bluff, you know, on the entire miles long the bluff that we haven't seen. I never would say never, but if we're talking about Bay Bluffs Park and the boardwalks, we've now investigated them twice in the last 24 hours. And have zero semblance of anything there. And I think it always proves the greater point. And I would say lots of the myth busting I do in this job, you know, I would say probably maybe the most frustrating part is not the difference of opinion, you know, of the mayor wants to do A and I think we should do B. It's more of just foundational problems with fact. The city isn't doing this. They are doing this when, in fact, it's the opposite, you know. And so it's a hard thing to tackle, Andrew, as you know, in the information business because, you know, you have press conferences, you get stuff out there, and, if you can't just hand it to all 55,000 people plus, folks outside the city to make sure that they're informed. So, there's another one of those episodes of, it's not necessarily a fact. It sounds bad, but it's not a fact that we can find.
What is the old expression? The lie will travel all the way around the world three times before the truth puts its pants on.
It's
hard.
Right.
It's hard to battle misinformation, and it's captivating, and people share it, and they get worked up, and they, you know, my recent expression about this is it's mostly been a criticism of TikTok for kids, but especially other social medias. You know, not everybody ought to own a news station, and yet with social media, we all do. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about the camping bans, what I've been calling the A and the B ban. The B ban is the one that puts the state law into effect locally. I don't have as many questions about that because I see the value of that one, or at least in terms of giving, for example, PPD or at the county level, the Scambia Sheriff's Office, the ability to implement things that will keep us from getting sued. But the A ban is the one where it's banning on private property unless you have the consent of the owner, and then commercial property, period, across the board. I do want to give you credit. I thought one very big improvement was to remove the sleeping in the car overnight as part of the definition of camping. So I appreciate that. I thought that was a very good move. What other things have been done to change that ordinance? Because I know there were some changes. Is there anything else before second reading tomorrow night that's been done that people ought to know about?
I don't think it's anything substantive. And what I've said the entire time is we just got to have the ability to take some action. I don't think myself or any particular council member, have been particularly emotional about one specific aspect, cars or not, all that is. We just got to get something that we think is fair to property owners, fair to business owners. In the 3-hour first reading, I wasn't being flippant about saying, hey, give us your concerns and let's let the city attorney, instead of trying to hash these out and try to all play attorney, let's get all our concerns on the table and let's let our expert attorney figure out how to do it. And so I think that's where we landed. The trap that you can always fall in when you talk about whether it's a new ordinance or it's an existing ordinance, Andrew, you know, I could pull 10 ordinances blind right now, and me and you can come up with single anecdotal examples of a gray area, right? Everything, from crossing a street to code enforcement at your house. I mean, and so we spent a lot of minutes and hours using one-off examples, and you can use them both ways. You can say, well, what about this person who owns vacant property who doesn't live in the city next to your house, and there's camping and there's nothing that the code enforcement can do about it? We've had those examples happen. And so, you know, you can look at it every which way. And that's why, you know, I don't think there's ever such a thing as an ordinance that solves absolutely 100% of everybody's gray area concern. But the reality is we've got to put ourselves in a better place than we were before. And I think with these passing, hopefully on Thursday, that we're in a better place to enforce the state law with the public side, as you know, but also give ourselves the ability, to enforce in situations where we've been relatively helpless and not being able to really do anything when it feels like we should be able to do something.
And so I think
it puts us in a better place.
And I very much agree with you. No ordinance is perfect. And considering every gray area, well, you know, that's where litigation usually is what winds up solving some of those gray areas.
Right.
I did notice one thing the other day. I was listening to a debate between Ashley Hoffberger and Ron Helms, and Ashley made the comment about trying to work with the county's ordinances to match up with the city ordinance so there's not like this weird invisible line between the two. And she was talking about this, but she mentioned trying to work with the county attorney to make it that like there'd be a time element in the camping, like 3 days maybe as the maximum duration. And I had not seen that in the city ordinance. Is a time element a part of what you guys had been considering as a modification?
Not necessarily. I don't want to say we haven't. I put a lot of trust in our city attorney's office to look at that precedent and what can stand up in court and what couldn't and things like that, obviously, that they're going to be much more in tune with than I'm going to be. You start setting a time, then the question becomes why? You know, why 3 days? What about five? What about two? You know, and what's the science behind that? And so sometimes, while it looks as if it's let's give this certain type of grace period, I could see there being challenges legally to it, and mm-hmm. I think there could be some complications to why that number. Why three? Why five? Why seven? So I'm not saying that isn't a viable solution, and that certainly I'm not going to again try to play attorney, but that never really came across our desk.
I did really appreciate Adam Cobb's the city attorney's response on the effort to try to redefine involving insurance and licensing and things, and him saying, look, I just don't know that you can justify that from a public safety standpoint, and so that might run into a constitutional mm-hmm. challenge, even though it seems like a good thing. So the lawyer is doing his job, which is good. One of the other things,
exactly.
Obviously, tomorrow night, one of the big issues is going to be or at least big in terms of city importance, I should say, the Baptist Hospital Department of Commerce grant. You're going to take $7 million to go with the $9 million local match. Always ask the same question because it's a question everybody asks. Where are we at?
Yeah, good question. We'll see a lot. Right now, we've hired our own. So, again, the city's taken on about $300,000 of our own money right now so far with demolition consultants, Geosyntec that we've hired to bring on. And they've been looking at the property. We're in a phase two environmental right now with the property. So, in short, Andrew, we've been hot and heavy in due diligence in terms of what can or can't be saved, and just the environmental aspects of the property, all things that taxpayers should know before we take on this property publicly, before the taxpayer takes it on. So the same way you buy a house, that's what we're doing right now. We want to understand what we're buying or what we're getting donated to us before it's too late or before we get surprised by something. And so I think that's very important. So what you'll see in Q1 of next year, our goal is to have by March, by session, to have the donation agreement signed. And if you work backwards from that, obviously it's getting all the funding procured like we're doing on Thursday. But that's understanding demolition. We are going to probably start kind of the communication process with the community. And then hopefully in February, about January, February, we will have an RFP for demolition on the street.
Okay.
So we'll start to see a lot of front-facing action. So it seems like nothing's really going on, and it's just because we're doing our homework right now. You know, but there is a lot going on internally. But the citizen will start to see really end of December, 1st of January, we're going to start to see some front-facing action that's all a product of what we're doing right now.
Okay.
We're as aggressive, as reasonable, as I keep saying. If you look at our time, we've got a timeline worked out. We are really, really working hard. Erica and our economic development office is doing a great job. Continue to have conversations with Baptist. So I'm very pleased with the progress right now. And you know, where the rubber meets the road, Andrew, is we cross our fingers and we hope that demo number comes back around $16 million.
Right.
I mean, that's what it really comes down to. If it's 25, we got some issues. And if it's 10, great.
we'll take the bonus. Right. No, I agree. Today I will not be able to be there because actually two things happened today, or three things happened today at the exact same time that I'd love to be at all three of them. I already had pre-committed to one. But you are going to finally, if I'm not mistaken, have an unveiling of the
Bearcat is here. Yeah, I don't exaggerate when I say when I started this job, probably one of the most embarrassing moments I had is when I saw our SWAT van.
Plumber's van?
Exactly. And when I saw that, and it kind of sounds like a joke, especially when you see it, but it really, I mean, I was honestly very embarrassed to say, hey, yeah. And I just thought to myself, how can I say that public safety is our number one issue and I'm sending our guys into the most dangerous situations they can be in an old plumber's van. I mean, so very, very excited. You know, so this is a year and a half in the making. You know, we got delayed because the military needed some work from the manufacturer, but it is here, and we'll unveil it today at 10 o'clock.
Outstanding. And you've got a big item for a mobile command center for PPD on the agenda tomorrow night for, what, $800,000 or $900,000, something
right.
like that. So big improvements to public safety.
Yeah, about $800,000, and that'll allow us, exactly how it sounds, it'll allow us to set up anywhere on port, at the airport, and have a new state-of-the-art, and that replaces about a 18, 20-year-old command center right now that's severely outdated technology-wise.
Absolutely. I always have stuff I don't have time to get to you, so sorry, but I have so many other things always to talk to you. We always like to end with a quick lightning round. A couple of days ago, it was National Frog and Reptile Day, and I asked the question, is there an animal or insect that creeps you out? Personally, DC Reeves, is there an animal type that creeps you out?
In that category, snakes, definitely.
All right.
I'm okay with bugs and spiders and everything. Snakes, man, I just can't do it.
All right, so the Indiana Jones in you comes out. It was National Nut
That's
Day,
right.
And I asked the question, mixed nuts or single nuts? And if single nuts, what kind?
Single nuts, Planters has got this nice sweet and spicy peanuts now.
Oh.
Single, but definitely a single, not a mixed nut guy.
I couldn't agree more. It makes you even more reasonable, in my opinion. Are pistachios worth the effort, by the way?
What's that?
Are pistachios worth the effort?
No. I'm getting lazy now. I buy pre-show.
The shell, right? Fair enough. And then the last one, similar on the snag vein, is this actually came from a listener, so I'm excited to talk about this one today. This is our frivolous topic for today. Do you ever sneak snacks into the movie theater? And if so, do you feel guilty?
I haven't, and that's not even a politician answer. I haven't. I'm worried about getting arrested by our own police department or anything. Back in the day, definitely. Silver screen, the university.
Junior high age DC might have brought some, Hershey's bars in with them or something like that.
May or may not have.
Yeah,
not confirmed, but yeah.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. As always, Mayor DC Reeves, I appreciate the time, the work you're doing on behalf of the city, and sharing it with us to communicate whatever's going on for the audience so that they get the facts instead of the Facebook shares. Mayor, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.